verses 1 and 7 through 14.
Yes, sir. Please.
On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then, in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or brothers or relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And when you be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." These are the words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Lord, Father God, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, my mind, be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's not as if the host of this meal needed a lesson in etiquette. See, this isn't just a story the parable talks about inviting people to a meal. Because we're all invited to a meal today to share. See, the ancient world, and even the world today, deals with a thing called reciprocal, or I'm not even going to try the word, reciprocity. Oh, I did. Did I do that right, Kenny? Yeah, okay, good. Well, what in the world does that mean? It means I'm going to give you an invitation, fully expecting you to invite me later. Why? Well, in the ancient world, it was just good form. Isn't it good form still today? See, I would invite Bob to come. Okay? Not because I want him to invite me to come back, though that would be a good thing. But you invite someone because you want them to be there. Not to put them under some obligation to repay it. Okay? Because the ancient world was full of things like that. Well, this rich person invites these people to come. And it becomes a social community. Look at me. And how great and wonderful and marvelous I am. See this great spread? Well, everybody who comes, the guests, and oh, well, I can do better than that. So next week, we're going to go over to my house and we're really going to put on a feed. Well, what happens there? It's one-upsmanship, so on and so forth. You've heard me say that Jesus came to turn their world upside down. Because, see, if the rich man invites the poor man, the social mores of the time, is if you cannot reciprocate, then you don't go. And if the person who makes the invitation knows and understands that, then it was a fruitless gesture. It was almost an insult. You've invited someone to come to a meal knowing that that person can never repay you. That was the social mores of the time. Jesus comes in and turns their world upside down. Because there's not a single one of us given an invitation to this table could ever repay, even in the smallest, the glory, the wonder, the sacrifice, and the blessing that that bread, the body given, the fruit of the vine, the blood shed for us. See, Jesus takes that world. Okay, the Scriptures are written 2,000 years ago, roughly. This world today. There are people out there that say the Old Testament and New Testament are no longer relevant. That was for then. Did you guys look in the mirror this morning? Are you perfect? Do you think there's anything different other than we got electricity and we've got electric shavers and we've got running water? Well, the Romans had running water. Sometimes hot and cold. There are a lot of things that the ancient world didn't have. But there are a lot of things that the current world does have that are not any different. We have people that hate each other. We have people who set themselves up as being better than other people. Right? We have social strata. Wrong side of the tracks. They're not up to my level. They're not good enough for my son. Or they're not good enough for my daughter. Okay. As a father, there ain't nobody out there good enough for my daughters anyway. But hey, having said that, I am so thankful that Amanda did find someone worthy of her. You see, humility. When Jesus talks about how they were coming into the banquet and how, oh, well, I'm going to sit right next to the host. That would be the place of honor. Well, that's your opinion. The host may have a totally different agenda. You've come in and sat in the best place, and the host comes in and walks over to you after everybody else is seated, because now the guest of honor has come in, and he walks over and he says, politely, I'm sure, this seat is taken. And then he brings his honored guest and sets him down. And you get up and you have to look around to see if there's a place to sit. And the last place available may be the place reserved for the least of all invited, if there's any place left. So Jesus says what you should do first is to go and take a seat on the front row. Because see, Jesus turns the world upside down. Right? Everybody in the back rows, I want you to think about this next Sunday. Okay? Think about that in the church. Where are the best seats in the church, other than the choir? Okay? Where are the best seats in the church? Those on the back row. Okay? Not always. But think about that. Where you go. Put yourself at the lowest seat so that when the host comes, he might come to you and invite you to a better seat. You see, he turns the world upside down. Everything that he told the Pharisees and the Sadducees twisted them and turned them every which way. But he said, I come to fulfill the law, not usurp it. See, because they were so focused on the letter of the law, they missed the intent. The letter was to make us understand the relationship that we have with God. We need to be humble in the presence of God. Confident, because out of faith we know that Christ has already paid the debt for us, but we need to be humble. And that begins in the heart. But in our minds, we've got to understand what that humility really requires. Because God wants us, Jesus says, love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength, and thy neighbor as self. All of that is incorporated in the parable for that dinner. So, as He invites us to His table, blessings on them. Let's pause for a second. Lord, somebody in need has called on You through other people. Bless them and keep them. In Your precious and holy name. Amen. When is life too busy that you can't stop and pray for somebody else in need? Shame on us if we ever get to a point where things are too busy that we can't pray. And when you invite someone to your home, invite them. And as He told the host, invite those that can't repay you. Invite those who would not otherwise be able to return the favor. But see, it's not as an insult as the ancient world would see it. Again, He turns the world upside down. He does it to do one thing. He takes the world and turns it upside down, so that by His resurrection, His sacrifice, His death, and His resurrection, He might turn it right side up. We serve God, not God serve us. We serve each other, and the power of the Holy Spirit serves through us all of humanity. Look at the world and the banquet right side up instead of upside down. Then you will know peace. Shalom.